611 once welcome, always welcome. You're listening to Morning Devotion.
Brother and sister, good morning. Now we look at Ezra 9. That we know that when everybody read the book of Ezra, they have a hope. Because we can realize that the people under captivity, they can experience revival. So it's about 80 years of history already from King Cyrus. So basically one wave, another wave of revival. Then because they continue to realign their lives, and then there's prophecy of the prophets. So the King Cyrus, the Gentile, is able to allow the Israelites to be able to return their own place. Not only return to the land, but they can rebuild the temple again. They restore worship. So we can see that Israelites, the God of Israel, is a true and real God. Then we can see the people will be able to exodus again, like having the exodus experience again. So actually the events happening in Pentateuch, it can happen as the book of Ezra again. So this is revival. Now today we look at chapter 9. Then in the scripture we see and about revival. But in verse 8, it's talking about that it's basically having revival in bondages. So in 80 years of history, how does Ezra see this? This is just a little bit of revival. So, but revival actually means just survival. They were in the midst of death. But in grace, they're able to have a breathing room. Because Ezra see that the true condition of the people, they are in sin. So today the title is True Revival is Starting with Repentance. True Revival, Start with Repentance. So before the revival, it's all very real. The people return, and the king is able to open his golden mouth and allow this miracle to happen. And in chapter 7, it talks about a second wave of return. The new king was rise up. The new leadership was rise up. The Ezra was rise up. He called the people, called the Levites to be able to all return. To lead everyone to be able to come back to the temple and worship. He's so familiar with the law. He knows in what ways they should worship God. How to be able to restore the sacrifice. This is what chapter 8 is talking about. So through prayer, through all the preparation, and they were able to go back to Jerusalem. They're able to return to Chapter 9, the first verse, prepare everything and be able to prepare for burnt offering. There's people, there's sacrifices. So their spirit is ready. So in verse 1, it says, all these things has been done. The leaders came to me and said, the people of Israel, including the priests and the Levites, have not kept themselves separate from the neighboring people of their detestable practices like those of the Canaanites. Why do I need to read this? Because this order. Then we look at the Canaanites. You are able to remember the reminder in the Pentateuch. that God with Israelites are able to make a covenant in Deuteronomy through the mouth of Moses. It says when you talk about, when you're able to drive away this people, what's the most important mission? It's that they will be all destroyed. You cannot make covenant with them. You cannot marry with them. Cannot follow them. Cannot mix with them. It's in their lives. In Deuteronomy, God have already reminded the people, but because they have lost the kingdom, then experience returning, coming back to Jerusalem. They know they're in sin, and they were able to return. So that's why there's chapter 2 and chapter 6. They are so serious about returning back to the worship. But a few years later, to the time of Ezra, then the people, they have go back to where they started up with. They come to the place of marriage in making decision for their lives. They would choose Gentiles. The people who have returned the first wave, they were leaders. They were probably the descendants of royalty, priests of the royalty, the descendants of priests. But they lead these people. It says the leaders and the governments, they were the, so in verse 2, they were the leaders of sin. So when Ezra heard this, he torn the tunic and the cloak and pulled their hair to try to express that he was deeply angry. Then verse 4, "Then everyone who has trampled the words of the God of Israel gather for the evening sacrifice." So when I was reading this, I was deeply reminded. So you have this group of people. Why do they choose to align with the Gentiles? Because that's the culture of the time. In Chinese culture, a lot of times we see, like cross marriages, foreign countries like that too. Why do you need to have these cross-cultural marriages? Because to strengthen the power forces. So my tribe is weak, but because I'm able to align with a strong nations. So so not only we can benefit them, but at least we can be protected. So at least they will not come and attack me because we are one family. This is human nature. So you see, it talks about how you choose wives. You need to choose a good wife. 100 people, I would choose one. Or 10,000 people choose one. So 10,000 people, you choose one, should be better, right? You have more choices. So these are human nature, the struggle of human nature. So one generation after one generation of Israelites, are they become like that? Because it was a miracle that they were able to come back to experience God's guidance, experience revival. But actually, when we go back to the culture that we continue to make these kind of decisions, the true revival. So like Timothy and Debbie was explaining, the true revival is not just like a determination to worship, or just that passionate worship, or like the miracles that we see in the conferences. But we need to go back to the day-to-day. How do you make decisions? It's not that easy. Actually setting apart and be consecrated is that you have to continue to make the choices. You need to seek God's guidance to consecrate yourself. But the leader here, they experienced God's guidance. But what did they pass on to the descendants? They continue to wander around in the world and do whatever they want and gain whatever they want, or they make decisions for themselves. The miracle has already happened. But what do I need to face is my day-to-day lives. When day-to-day, is you need to do things that benefit yourself. It's consecrate, and holiness is not the first consideration. God's law is not the first consideration. When we read this part of the scripture, we need to remind ourselves in our day-to-day lives. In the miracles we able to experience in 611, is it aligned? Is it similar? We experience so much God's grace. But when we go back to our families, but you and I are, we are very weak people. We tell God we want to become the leaders of this generation. But in actuality, are we able to lead ourselves and our family, our next generation, to enter into holiness? The leaders need to see God's guidance, to continue to choose to be set apart. But Ezra's reaction, he's different from the leaders of the time. He has a lot of feeling towards sin. So he decided to torn his tunic in verse 4. So whatever the words of the God of Israel gather around me because of the faithfulness of the exile, I have sat there appalled until the evening sacrifice. He has a lot of feelings. So he leads a group of people who also have a lot of feelings towards sin. Then these people were consecrated. Especially in verse 10, is that whatever appalled God, they also feel appalled. They did it out of sadness. But the emphasis is until evening sacrifice, verse 4. So it's not like they just allow themselves to appalled in deep and then stay in deep sadness. They really clearly know we need to be a people to offer offering and sacrifices. So these sins need to bring to God and bring before God. Brother and sister, are you people who are willing to tremble at the word of God? So when I read, I thought about a lot of weaknesses that I have. Actually, they experience return. But actually, their life is chaotic and also weak and young. So just like when I first come to church, at that time, I am someone who really enjoyed drinking. Every single Friday, I would gather with my friends and we would buy alcohol. So only in the midst of drunkenness, I can release my stress. But God bring me to church. So the day I come to church is the day I consecrate myself. The day before, the day after, I come to service on Saturday. But Friday, I will continue to live my own life. And after I'm done with services, and I will still meet up with my own friends, so I can be this cut off or compartmentalized. So this is the people who experience God's grace. They choose to return. But it's actually a group of people who has a lot of hearts and they want to do this for God. They are willing, they believe the prophecy. They have feeling towards the history of the country. But actually, that one blink of an eye, they can be so weak. But then, sister, you need to be cautious. How do we make choices? That we can be this group of people who marry the foreigners. But we need to, or do we choose to tremble in God's word? In second segment, 5 to 15, true revival. Need to have leaders to lead in repentance. This is the true revival. So when Ezra saw this, they lead a group of people who reverent towards God. I believe when they return, they're able to hear this. That few hours is very difficult to get through. They finally return to this place to lead a group of Levites to prepare to bring a greater revival for the next generations. But they see this is the condition. They continue to wait. I need to give burnt offering. I need to continue to give burnt sacrifices to God. If there isn't this kind of choice, they will stay in deep sadness. But through Ezra, the words of Ezra, repentance is the way out. Lead is the way out. So Ezra start to pray. 5 to 7. Then in the evening sacrifices, I rose up for myself abasements with my tunic and my cloak torn and fell on my knees with my hands spread out to the Lord my God. And says, my God, I'm too ashamed and disgraced to lift up my face to you, my God, because of our sins is higher than our head and our guilt has reached to the heavens. From the days of our father until now, our guilt has been great. It experienced the whole entire span of history. Our king and priest have been subject to the sword and captivity. We have experienced captivity, being pillaged and humiliated, but because of our sin. But today our people still like the same. Ezra clearly understand the condition of the people. So actually in repentance, you have to know your true condition. You need to clearly see that sin is still here. It's not that God is not good to these group of people. It's because the group of people who are filled with sin. They're 8 and 9. He sees they were in captivity. They were in bondage. It's actually only just a little relief. But the fact that they're able to return, it's God's grace. It's not because we are better than other people. It's not because we have more reverence than other people. We are just a group of people who are able to escape. But just for before when Lord God has graciously leave us for a remnant and give us a firm place in sanctuary. We're actually slavery. We were in bondages in verse 9. It said, our God have not deserted us in our bondages. So in the king of Persia, he has granted us new life to rebuild these houses to our God and repair to its ruins. So 5 to 9, remind us. Even though we see ourselves as a group of people who is able to be living in grace and revival, or we see ourselves that we are still in bondages. We know we are just truly trying to survive. That every single week when we come to Mercy Seat to worship, because we are actually people who are living in sin, we just simply escape. In brother and sister, in 611, we see that God is working in such an abundant way. Every single week, we have a lot of nutrients. We experience a lot of God's grace. And every week, we can see Fallen God, we can see Mama's Kitchen. Then there is a lot of testimony in main service. Then revival is here. But a lot of times when we see the condition of the revival, we will be blinded. We will think that you yourself are also in the midst of this revival. Because we are in this community. But today, through Ezra, it reminded us, we need to see your own condition for yourself. We need to long for revival to come to in your own life. Today, the fact that we were able to come worship is God's grace. And then verse 10 to verse 15, Ezra, are able to lead the group. They plead with for the group. Then they see the sin of the world. That I come and pray for them. That God will help them to return and repent. As well see as us. In verse 10. Is that our God, what can we say after this? And then we have discarded the old commands. Because we have left the commandments. You give to your servant the prophets and you, when you said, the land you enter into possess and the land polluted by the corruption of the people. Then therefore do not give your daughter in marriages and their sons to take their daughter, for your sons do not seek the treaty of friendship with them at any time. Or you will not receive the blessings. In verse 13, God, you have punished us less than our sin deserve, and we have given us the remedy like this. Ezra clearly see. From captivity to returning is God's grace. That our sin is great. But our sinful nature hasn't changed. That every week we come to worship God. But actually, the path of our lives is still the same. Our couple's relationship. In one way, we say, God, I need to see that through couple's relationship, we need to be able to build a glorious church. But I see our lives. But oftentimes, we will fall in relationship. As a father, a lot of times, I want to experience the God I experienced to be able to pass on to my children. We listen to many, many messages or sermons, but when we come back to my own house, I still will get angry. I will still try to control my own kids. But what I read to this point is actually us. I'm a priest, I'm a Levite, I'm a cell leader. But a lot of times we are still in weaknesses. When he says that you give us is less than what we deserve and give us remnant like this. You allowed us to live and it's God's grace. Then in 14 and 15, shall we break your commands and intermarry with the people who commit such a detestable practices? In verse 15, O God, our God of Israel, O Lord, God of Israel, you are righteous. We are left this day as a remnant. Brother and sister, how you pray for this generation, this time, this don't compartmentalize yourself from the people who are weak. We are a whole group of people. Ezra continued to remind us. We are people who escaped. We are in grace. We are able to receive help. A lot of times that we will cry out to God and say we want a greater revival to come to this place. But today in Ezra, in chapter 10, in verse 9, it speaks to us. We are still weak. We need people to be able to lead in repentance. Recently in Revival Saturday, we are studying and learning about the history of revival. So we are preparing for this series. Pastor Jason, give me 5 to 6 books, thick books. They help us to kind of get a feel, what does it mean to revival? What does it mean to have youth revival? But then when I was reading these books, I was so touched. Because when I was thinking about revival, I was thinking about a lot of people come and worship, a lot of people come in and receive God and know the gospel. But every revival is all started with repentance. All started with one group, two groups, three groups. They were touched by the Holy Spirit. And they have a feel for sin. And they kneel down and they repented before the Lord. Then revival break out. Brother and sister, this is what Ezra is talking about too. Don't think that you are in the midst of revival already. Until we can continue to pray, continue to repent, then repentance and we can return back to revival. Then repentance can open up for revival. It's not that revival, it's like this world has a lot of problems, I need to save them. But every vessel of revival, they need to see their own sin of themselves. The revival of the church is not a lot of people come and worship. A lot of the people coming to worship is a result of revival. But the life of revival is day to day that you continue to make the choice. At the end, I want to share a small testimony that happened recently. Before, we had a leadership retreat. So we gather a group of people who are passionate to serve God, who are young people and who are in leadership, and then we gather them together to do this. So actually in the meeting, we really experience God's presence. A lot of the young people, they repented on behalf of their tree of good and evil. They also repented on behalf of there's some fallout in their relationship. God was there. But then what happened after that? There was a group of young people. They come before the leaders, staff. They admitted, even after the camp, they will continue to live in weaknesses. Some people will speak profanities. When they go back to their rooms, they will gossip. They will talk about gossip. They will they will party. They carry a lot of burdens. So when we chatted with them, one by one, they come and repent before the Lord. And the young people, when they repent, it really touches me. then they say that we, in camp, we say we need to become royal priests and then be able to be tree of life. But in my life, I really long for the world. In my life, my friendship more important than my relationship with God. Then 2 weeks later, I received messages from different young people. They were WhatsApp me. Joash, what are you doing this week? When do you have time? I want to chat with you. Not one. About 4 to 5. They didn't group together. They didn't talk with each other. But the Holy Spirit shined their lives. They still want to come and repent before God of their weaknesses and open themselves before God. So every time I chatted with them, my life was truly touched. Before, when I imagine revival, I think a group of people who are passionate worshiping God. But God is stirring this generation and the next generation. Like Ezra. Need to start with repentance. Need to start with pleading before the Lord. Then we continue to plead on behalf of the next generation. Then what kind of miracle happens? It happens with the fact that the young people really, really want to repent their sin before the Lord. Then, brother and sister, we really need prayer for this generation. And then a weak generation really need the Lord's prayer. We are all weak. But God told us. It is just a little bit of relief. But the true revival will start. This is the hope that Ezra has given us. So we can all enter into this revival started with repentance and prayer. That we can receive leaders repenting and the revival will start. Let's all worship our God together this morning. Let's give thanks to Pastor Joash, that we need to have revival. We need to have children revival too. Because today is the first day of children camp. So the teachers, we want to invite them, all the teachers to come. Come. The day camp. Everybody's here. All the people who are doing day camp and helping, would you come? Come before the stage, would you all rise up? Let's all raise our hands and pray for them. Let's anoint them, pray for them. We pray, we ask the Creator to come and pray for them. So the people, the brother and sister, let's pray for the next generations. We come and support them. Then for the next 3 days, it's not day camp. Day camp is only one day. They actually for 3 days straight on in the morning, they come. So no matter it's peace, as if you're praying for them, but they are bringing anointing, bring love, bring revival to come to play with the kids. Let's pray for them. Jesus, we come and pray for all the teachers of the children's church because you know they want to play with the kids. They need to come and humble themselves and spend time with them and play with them, that their hearts, their spirits, that they will be able to follow you. They will be able to follow you. They will be able to follow Jesus. To come and bring the kids to into revival, that since young, that this sprouts, that they the sprouts of consecration will be planted in them. That you come anoint them, you come and anoint every single one of the teacher. You be with them, you come, you help them. That they will bring anointing, they will bring power, bring love to come to all the kids and come to every single families. Let's pray for basketball camp too. That ASAP will come after worship, they will be able to bring. That you come and to the basketball camp, that you bring anointing, that Lord Jesus will come. That before worship, that the people will come and be able to we pray that you anoint them, Lord Jesus. We pray, Lord God, that through these activities, that through these activities that they will be able to see the God of revival. Lord, we thank you. We praise you, Jesus, that in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's come and worship God together. Lord, we want to welcome you that you are in the midst of us. Lord, we want to welcome you because you are in our lives, that you're in our hearts, that you are spirits, that may you continue your presence to be strongly with us. More holiness come and fill us, fill our lives, that you come and fill us. Lord, that you fill our holy, you fill our spirits, that we can come and experience your revival, that we can experience to you, that we can have full of grace, Lord, because Jesus, because we have this grace, you give us grace that our life can be redeemed, that we can receive abundance grace. So at this moment that you put your hand on your hearts and you pray and give thanks for the way that you're able to be redeemed by God, by Jesus, and then you say, Lord, I thank you that thank you for your salvation. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for everything. Lord, we really thank you. Lord, I want to give you thanks that because you have really saved my life, that in the past, I don't know what is sin. I'll do a lot of bad things. Then when you see a lot of relationships that it was broken one by one, that was in self-pity and low self-esteem. But again, that you bring me back from a low place that I can have breakthroughs, that you lead me, that I can follow you, that today that I can have a relationship with you, that you give, that I can give great grace and give gifts to my families. That Lord, I thank you that you're such a good God to us, that you are a God of abundance, that you're able to really help me to live in grace. Lord, I thank you that in my mother's womb, I was chosen by you, that I can become a third generation Christian. You know me more than I know me, that every single hair on my head, you know. That I really give thanks to you, that in my growing up, that in my condition, I didn't know. But your grace has always been with me, and you've been waiting for me to return. Thank you for this grace. Thank you for choosing me. That in this process that you can protect me till today, I want to give you thanks. I thank you, Jesus. Jesus, I thank you. I want to praise you that you were nailed on the cross on behalf of us, that you through your blood, that you come and save our lives, that you receive our spirits, our souls, so that through darkness, the power of darkness, that we can enter into the lights. Lord, we thank you. We really praise you. God, that everything in heaven belongs to you, that we're able to know you, that you are our Father, that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, we know that we have everything, that we want to give thanks to you, that we want to praise you, that we don't need to have low self-esteem. We don't need to be fearful because we have you, then we have everything. Lord, we thank you that today, that in morning devotion, we see there is a leader, group of leaders who are returning, and that their decision to intermarry with the Gentiles, because they have a lot of fears, they have a lot of worries, that they need to have a protector, that they did it, that a lot of times that we are like these leaders who return, that when we make decisions, that in our, that inside, that we allow our fear, allow our worries, allow our greed, allow our fear, that we use the worldly ways to protect ourselves, that through these ways that we come and make decisions, let's come and all sit down and reflect our lives together, that in what way are affecting us in our lives, in our, affecting our decisions. Lord, our heart really needs you. our life needs you. Because only you can help us to know the true condition we're in. That you know that we are in fear, we're in worry. That we want to grab security for ourselves. That we want to grab the mass, be able to control our own lives. That every time I pray, I say I want to release my control. I continue to release it. But in my heart, as if I cannot lay down. God, today, you let us know. When we keep trying to put it down, our lives, our spirit, that we can feel more towards sin because what is affecting us is sin. Lord, you want our hearts, our lives, are able to go into your heart desires. Lord, I'm willing to admit that a lot of the life situation is out of control for us. Maybe we lost our jobs. Maybe we are sick, we're ill, or maybe some relationships. We value so much, but it's more than you. And we want to run faster than you. We keep thinking, who can help me? We keep thinking, how can we do this? Lord, you know our conditions. Lord, we're willing to admit our hearts. Our hearts, whatever's in our hearts is filled with worry. It's fear. As if we cannot see clearly of the problems, and if we don't solve it, and nobody's going to solve it for us. Lord, it's as if you have no ability to help us, as if you do not know what is our need. But Lord, we come before you, and we want to admit that we have little faith, that we cannot see, that you use your eyes, that you come and help us, and you watch over everything and everyone, that we can experience your heart. That a lot of times that you want us to be close to you, that you want us to be able to deeply connect to you, that our worries, our fear, Lord, even to a point that you desire for us, that more deeply to come adjust our values. Lord, we come before you. We're willing to admit that we have sinned against you. We have sinned against you, God. That would you come and forgive us? Would you come and give us grace? Would you give us mercy? Would you come and help us, Lord? We need you, God. That may you, that in the time of fear, when we're so worried, Lord, you use your loving hand, your nature to come and remind us that we can come back to you again and praise you. That when I was praying, I really see a lot. There's a smoke. It's that cigarettes, the smoke keep going up. I see alcohol, also gambling, horse gambling. So has any of you guys that you are here or online that you feel like this is not a big deal? It's weekend. I go and play, tell all-nighters, you know, what's the big deal? But you're hurting your body. Or alcohol, or cigarettes, or gambling to Hong Kong people. This is not a big deal at all. But we are people who belong to God. We are people belong to God. That today God remind us to be consecrated, to be consecrated, to be consecrated. I want to invite the brothers and sisters who are reflecting, you find someone, that someone you have a relationship with, that the two by two you pray together. If you have any of these, or you don't have these, we have something else that you thought of, that you pray to, in the name of Jesus, I have made the decision, I do not want this. I want to rely on God. I want to abandon alcohol. I want to abandon smoking. Abandon that. You do this prayer together with your partner. And the second prayer is that you have feeling towards sin. Because Ezra has a lot of feeling towards sin, that this kind of fear and tremble, that may God help us, that if we have this fear and trembling that towards God, that we will not do anything that does not please God. So I want everyone to have someone to pray. Then if you don't have anyone, then you come on stage and find someone on stage. Two by two, you come and make a decision before the Lord, and you make a decision in your hearts. If there's any extra three people, also okay. Lord, please help us. You help us to rely on you, and we depend on you. No matter what kind of difficulties, no matter what kind of struggles, that in first moment we can come before you and ask you for help. Lord, it's only in the midst of you that we're able to receive, that you give us more feeling for sin, that we need to have this kind of awareness for sin. Sensitivity towards sin. Lord, that we wouldn't dare to just walk on the path of sin. Would you come and help us that we can come and follow you wholeheartedly? Just like Ezra, that we can walk on your path, that we can lead the people to walk on your path. Lord, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. brother and sister, let's come and stand up before God, and we tell God that we are willing to wholeheartedly follow you. Lord, this is our prayer. So we have this longing for you, this greater longing for you, that we have feelings towards you. So we know that when we value you, when we want to not sin against you, Lord, that we will have reverence towards you, that would you come and help us. Lord, we thank you because we know that our weaknesses in the heaven, that God is pleading on our behalf, that on earth there is the church pleading on our behalf. Lord, we thank you, brother and sister, that we need to come and pray and petition, that you maybe there has been something that happened with that, that there's a family in a hotel, Panda Hotel, that there is a husband who lost his life, they jump off the building. So we need to pray for this family and the people who knows them, that we need to pray for this family, that may God help them, that this sadness, not understanding, that we God comfort them and help them. We ask Joey to come up, Pastor Joey, to come. Is two kids, 3, 1, 3, 1, 4, 6. This family, the 33-year-old, actually study our M class. But in April, May, they mentioned that they will immigrate. They will immigrate to another country, so they actually are not studying anymore. Then come, so they basically stopped coming to school. So the brothers was another preschool. But both preschool, the social worker is actually a same associate. So we're dealing with grief work. Will be coming from the same social work association. So we will also help. So may everybody remember, because it's one teacher. So actually one of the teacher actually is... know the man who passed away, and they were in same school together. So actually there was, but 10, so we invite everybody to be able to remember this group of classmates. Then also there's two teachers from N class, also Pastor Grace. So she actually counted this boy too. The whole entire principal, and so today we will go to the school and take care of this, and then EDB and also the social workers, they will do a grief work with us, and also including the families. So let's support them in prayer, because I know there's a lot of rumors online, a lot of attacks. But may God's love to be with us. May God's favor be with the whole families and all the surrounding people. So actually limiting time, but I want to invite everybody to kneel down to pray together. Why are Hong Kong being like this? It's not someone is not doing good enough or someone has problem. It's just that we have problems. Our church, it's just like Ezra. We represent Hong Kong, this place. The people who are able to make decision, we come and repent. Let's all open our mouth in spirit We pray for Hong Kong. Why were our land able to grow something so depressing that happened like this? So heartbroken. Lord, it's so difficult. This couple. They have a pair of beautiful children. God, give them. But we don't. We are helpless. We're helpless to be able to allow them to grow. What we can do is so limiting, so difficult, so challenging. Lord, would you forgive us? Lord, would you forgive us? Lord, you give us to be this anointing of fruitful and multiply. You give us the authority to rule. But would you forgive us? That when the blood was shed on the land, that would you forgive us? That we're helpless, we're helpless, we're helpless. That we're unable to protect this land. We're unable to protect. Lord, we cannot gain back this family. Lord, we cannot. Lord, you are the God who gives lives. Lord, we look up to you, God. Lord, it's not only this news, but there's more. So many beautiful kids. What kind of parents are they following? Lord, would you come have mercy upon us? Because we are distant from you. We are helpless. We are helpless. We don't know how to bring people closer to you. Lord. 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 Not only one jump off the building. There's so many people who jump off the building. They jump off a bridge. They jump off a river. Lord, would you forgive us? That we allowed that death is laughing at us. God, you're the God of life. God, you're God of life. You're God of life. Lord. Lord. Lord, you pray, you open up your mouth and pray that may he open up the window of heaven to us. He give us grace, give us mercy, give us his justice, that the people belong to him, all people belong to him. Let's all tell God, God, it all belongs to you, it all belongs to you. You need to receive that. Let's all open our mouth and pray to God together. And cry out to the Lord. Lord, your grace will rain down like rain. Lord, would you cleanse us? Would you wash away our sadness, our grief? Would you burn our sense of self? Lord, that we will fully follow a heart after you. Lord, you heal us. You heal everyone who's wounded. You remove all the fears. Lord, we want to give our lives before you. Let's offer ourselves before the Lord. I want to welcome people who are touched by this, that we are stirred up by this news, because we need to go and share the gospel. Because you don't know, when you share the gospel, it could be that mom, that dad. It might be someone in their family. So I want to invite our Tuesday, the first day, the prayer walk team. We pray for them. We invite Pastor Leanne. We pray that, we ask Pastor Leanne to pray and anoint them. If you want to be involved, there's Tuesday, like a gospel team. Or in the future, that every day we will have a gospel team that goes out, that the goodness could be spread everywhere. If you want to join, you can come out. It doesn't have to be today. If you want to share the gospel, you want to do more of this, you can come forward and join, and we will pray for you. It doesn't have to be joining today. Lord, you see our brother and sister, they coming on the steps. Lord, we want to say to you that we're willing. That we're willing. We want to give our body before you. We want to give our body as living sacrifices. We are the vessel of your gospel. You come anoint us. Let's all raise our hands. Let's pray for this evangelistic team and pray for them. Not only that they will wear the armor of God, but we will anoint them that when they see opportunity, they will see the people who needs the gospel. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. Lord, we praise you. Let's invite the curator team to come and pray for them. Lord, we pray that you will anoint them, that the love that they will have for the people, deeper love for people, that we come and thank you. We praise you. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. Lord, your love is upon us. And then they say, I'm willing. So you protect them. You protect their families. You anoint them. You anoint their mouth. That you bring your salvation. You bring the gospel. You bring the power. Lord, we praise you. We praise you that the seed of the gospel will go out. The seed of the gospel will go into the heart of Hong Kong. Lord Jesus, that when they're in the most difficulty, they will remember, there's a Jesus that can save me. There's a Jesus that can help me. Or some people might say that Jesus can help me. Jesus can help me. Lord, the life, it belongs to you. That life will be given, that the power will be given, that you come and know every single one of us, that you give us grace. Lord, we thank you, we praise you. Thank Jesus, I want to bless every single brother and sister, that you bring God's love, you bring God's power to be consecrated. That before the temple, before God, you worship God, then when you go outside of this temple, you also are incarnated Jesus to those people. That you bring salvation, you bring hope to the people you encounter. In Jesus' name, I want to bless you, that whatever belongs to you, that you will be blessed. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. Amen. Let's give God a hand. this will be the end of our morning devotion. Thank you, everyone.